You might like to turn in your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 48. And in our exercise of a bit, we've been going through and considering the ministry and the resultant effect on Israel. Nebuchadnezzar levels the city. And so therefore, as we've been looking at the end of chapter Jeremiah, and we're looking at those pieces that God fills in, that Jeremiah spoke about the nations. And we're in chapter 48 at this point. And we looked at Egypt. And here in chapter 48, we're looking at Moab. Now, what is it about Moab? And it's a comparatively lengthy account of Moab. Some things are short. In chapter 49, they're all little short things. When you come to chapter 48, though, it's a big, long thing. So, here we are looking at Moab. So, what about Moab? Now, in order to catch that a little bit and to see the benefit, God, why put Moab in there? So lengthy. So, you know that in Genesis 19 and that Lot, when he left Sodom and his wife, it got turned to stone, salt, pillar of salt, because she looked back. And that pillar of salt actually stayed there for, I forgot how many years. So you could go back and see it just sitting there. So Lot goes back and his daughters are concerned about the future, and so they end up, one of them has a child, and that's chapter 19, and that child is called Moab. He is the father of the Moabites. So the Moabites are a perpetual enemy of the Jews, of Israel. They never quit being an enemy. That's what they are. So now, in order to pick up the flavor of that and see it, its benefits to us. So, in the light of chapter 49, chapter 48, I should say, let's go to Numbers and chapter 22. And in Numbers chapter 22, we have the account. And in the process, Numbers 22. And here's Moab, and Israel's getting ready to cross the Jordan to go into the land. But in the process of their getting there, they have to go through where Moab is. And remember, here's the Dead Sea. I'll use it this way, because it is this way. Here's the Dead Sea. Over here's the Mediterranean Sea. And here's the Dead Sea. Now, on this side of the Dead Sea, over there, is Ammon. And next to Ammon, down in the bottom part, is Moab. So Moab is right here, and just above it is Ammon, another city, another tribe, a group of people. So that's where they are. So you need to know where it is. And Israel would have had to go through there, and they did. So, but Moab is against Israel. And therefore, so when we come to Moab, we learn a lot about God and his nation, the nation of Israel. And in order to pick up that a little bit, hold your finger here, we're coming right back here, over to Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy chapter 4, you remember the commission to Israel, and there to be a nation to all the nations. In other words, God's going to use that nation to help all the nations see to worship God and honor God. Israel is going to be a blessed nation. Blessed. So what's it going to do? Israel's assignment is to show God's wonderful purpose in creating humans to be able to enjoy God, to know God in his image and likeness he made us. Now, that's what he did for us. And so all nations, Israel is to demonstrate that relationship. It is a blessed relationship. That means God is showing his grace and his favor in a most wonderful way. So here in Deuteronomy chapter 4 again, just to remind us, in verse 6, therefore, this is their assignment, and to do all God's word. This is your, verse 6, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, so that are all looking, as you know, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Verse 7, for what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? So they have a unique relationship to God and understanding God, enjoying God, and all the benefits. And in verse 8, and what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? They were able to enjoy God, his awesome person. Now, and here they are going and through the land of Moab. They're going to go through the land of Moab to Jordan. Now, having done so, back to Numbers 22. And in Numbers chapter 22, picking up if I may, and here's Balak. Balak is the king of Moab. He's the king over here. And here comes Israel through the land. Now, so chapter 22, I'll read it. And verse 1, and the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side of Jordan by Jericho. And Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was so afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. Now Moab is concerned about, he doesn't need to be, but he is. Unnecessarily, he's concerned about God's people going and moving in the will of God. And you never need to fear when God's people are moving in the will of God. If you're looking to God, you never need to be afraid. Now, verse 4, and Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are round about us as the ox licketh up the grass of the field? And Balak the son of Zippor was king of Moab, the king of the Moabites at that time. And therefore, Moab, Balak is going to go look for his help. And so he sent messages out to Balaam, the son of Beor, in verse 5. He calls for a Gentile prophet who is known. And the Gentile prophet is a known entity out there. and the all people knew it, and he had a relationship to God. Now, so Balak sent to Balaam to come and help him. Verse 6. Come now, therefore, that's what these men are going to go to Balak, and the servants of Balak are going to go to Balaam and try to convince him to come. And they're going to say, come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that I may smite them, that I may drive them out of the land. For I want a no, or what, W-O-T? No. For what that? For I know not that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. I know your reputation, Balaam, and when you bless, people are blessed, and when you curse, people are cursed. So I know you have an in with God to do one or the other, blessing or cursing. So, and verse 7, and the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. In other words, we're going to give you a real payoff. You're going to get a lot of money, as it were, if you just go and do what you help us, when you help us. And they came unto Balaam, and spake unto him the words of Balak. Now, what do we know in all of this? The world wants to curse the light. They hate light. Darkness loves darkness, and it hates light. So therefore, in the light of that, what are we going to do? So they're going to go and do everything they can to put out the light, to keep the light from shining, to say it in a different way. They want to take care of Israel. Balak wants to take care of Israel. Israel is bad news as far as they're concerned. Now, and sliding over if I can, they're going to go and to Balak. And now Balak represents God, and God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent unto me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth, 2.5 million of them or so, plus animals, everything. Behold, the people come, verse 11, come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure, I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. Bring judgment upon them, Balaam. Verse 12, and God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people. Why can't you curse Israel? Because they're blessed. You can't curse them because they're blessed. Now hang on to that so we get the benefit. They're blessed. Now, so therefore, and so Balaam got the message, and God said unto Balaam, take thou shalt not go with them, but thou, as we just read, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. So Balaam was up, and he did all of the things that he was going to do in the way that he's going to do them. And so he also makes it clear to Balak, no matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter what you give me, no matter what you give me, I can never go against God. I can't go against God. That's good. Now, so therefore, in verse 16, and they came to Balaam and said to him, thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For, reason, I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. That's what I want. Curse them. Verse 18, and Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, Balak would give me, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold. I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord, thy God, my God, to do less or more. I have to go by what God says. Verse 19, now therefore I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. So the men sit there and they listen. They're going to get Balaam going to go and talk to God again to see what to tell the people. Verse 20. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with him. But yet the word which thou shalt say unto thee, that shalt thou do. So you're going to have to honor God's word. But if they're going to go and push you, you're going to end up going. Because where's the heart of Balaam? Balaam's heart is, what an opportunity, what a business opportunity this is to really come out on this thing. Man, I won't have to do anything the rest of my life if I just do this. So that's in his mind. Now, God knows that. You'll see it a little, just not very far now. God's going to help. I told you, you're going to go. But if you go, you better not say anything that I did not tell you. So, sliding down, verse 21. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. Now he's going to go. He really wants to get the benefit, but he knows, and God knows. God told him not to go, but he's going. He's looking to help get some benefit from the king of Balak. So, verse 23, as you know. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and the ass turned aside out of the way and went unto the field. And he left the pathway. And Balaam smote his ass to turn her into the way. In other words, the donkey's going down the road. The donkey's been a good donkey. And you're riding it, and in the process of riding it, it isn't doing what you're telling it to do, because it goes aside, as you know, all that, verse 25. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall and smote her again. So they're going through this vineyard where there's two walls, and it's a narrow wall, and going through the wall, and so as they're going down between the walls, going down, the donkey goes and goes over to one side, and so Balaam's one foot gets slammed. Then he goes the other side; his other side gets slammed. I said, "What's going on?" So, and in the process. And when the ass saw the, verse 27, and when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam was real upset. Anger was kindled. What's he angry about? His donkey isn't doing what it's supposed to do. And he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass. And she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? Now that you have to think about that, you say, and you say the donkey can't talk. Well, the serpent talked to Eve. How did a snake talk to Eve? How can anything do? To make it simple, and all history and anyone, ancient and old, I'll have to agree that what God can do what he wants. Now, when God was entering the city of Jerusalem to be crucified, and on Matthew 21, when they're going in, and God says to them, remember the disciples said, stop all the stuff that's going on, people around him. And the Lord said, what? If they don't do what they're doing, the stones will cry it out. I'll make the stones say so. So you do it. Otherwise, I'll make the stones say so. See? So God, you can do. It's a wonderful thing. And the last time you heard a donkey talk was when, you know. That's a wonderful thing. It's a, God can do it. You have to get excited about God a little bit because God can do what he wants to do. God can make the sun stand still for Joshua. He can do whatever he wants. You say, he can't do it. Mm-hmm. He's going to go all of a sudden, boom, and eliminate the heavens and earth in one shot and create new ones. I think that's pretty big. That's pretty big. Yeah. So, here we are, and here's the donkey, and here's Balaam, and Balaam is looking to get the advantage from Balak, and but God is telling him, you aren't going to go and bring cursing on Israel when I bless them. And when I bless them, no one, anywhere, anyhow, can curse them. No one. Now, so, keep going. Let's just see it a little bit. And, get the donkey part of it. Verse 33, and the ass saw me, turned from me three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. In other words, I would have killed you, Balaam, and saved the donkey. I would have saved the donkey. I wouldn't have saved you. So if you didn't pay attention, you would be gone. The donkey would be alive. Now, verse 35. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men. Remember now, remember what we just read in verse 20 in that. Go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that shalt thou speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak, etc. And sliding down over to verse 27. And Balak said unto Balaam, And Balak said unto Balaam, did I not earnestly send thee unto thee to, I did not earnestly send unto thee to call thee. Wherefore camest thou not unto me? Am I not able to indeed to promote thee to honor? Now, and of course, can Balak do that? Sure, he's a king. Verse 38, and Balaam said unto Balak, lo, I come unto thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything? The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak. And Balaam went with Balak, and they came unto the Kirjath Huzoth. And Balak offered oxen and sheep and sent to Balaam and to the princes that were with him. And it came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam and brought him into the high places of Baal, where they worshipped the gods, that hence he might see the utmost part of his people. In other words, I want to give you a high view to be able to look at all those people down there and what they're doing. So therefore, having said that, over, if I can, in verse 24. And in verse 24, chapter 1, 24, verse 1. And remember now, they're going to tell all those different things, and each time, Balak wants, puts him in a place to pronounce blessed, to pronounce a curse on Israel, but he can't do it. He never does it. Always blessing, blessing, blessing. Every time you see, he's going to keep saying it. Balaam, how come every time I tell you to curse, you have to say bless? Over now, chapter 24, verse 1. When Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not, as at other times, to seek the enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. In other words, I'm not going to talk to God anymore because he tells me the same thing. You cannot bless, you cannot curse Israel. You can't do it, so Balaam says. There's no sense in talking to God anymore because he isn't going to change. Verse 2, and Balaam lifted up his eyes and saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. And he took up this parable and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, hath said, and the man whose eyes are upon hath said, he hath said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance and having his eyes open, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel, and the valleys, etc., and the trees and everything, sliding down. Verse 8, and God brought him forth out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of the unicorn, and he shall eat up the nations. His enemies, he shall break their bones and pierce them through with arrows. God, you're going to win. God's going to see that Israel is going to be a winner, not a loser. Verse 9, he couched, he laid down as a lion, as a great man, a lion. God is going to be an awesome God. And him shall, and shall stir, and who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee. God, it's in your hands, and God's going to bless. And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, for he smote his hands together. And Balak said unto Balaam, I called thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. Therefore, now flee thou to thy place. I thought to promote thee unto great honor, but lo, the Lord hath kept thee back from honor. Verse 12, and Balaam said unto Balak, spake I not also to thy messengers, which thou sentest unto me, saying, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandments of the Lord to do either good or bad of my own mind. But the Lord saith, that will I speak. I'm going to do what I have to do and the way I'm going to have to do it. So, in the process of all of that, God's awesome working and outworking, so God's going to go, I have to bless Israel. That's what I have to do. And Israel has to be blessed. Israel does. So in the process, it has to be blessed. Israel is blessed. So you can't curse when God has blessed. You can do whatever you want. Now hang on to that, keeping that in mind. So Israel, in the light of that, that, go over with me, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 28. And you're going to chapter 27 even. And in chapter 27, Deuteronomy, you remember the blessing and the cursing, which we did. And picking up, if I can, chapter 27 and verse 11. And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, these shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people. And when you will come over Jordan, Simeon and Levi and Judah and Issachar and Joseph and Benjamin. And these shall stand upon Mount Ebal, the opposite, just the other side, and say unto them, all the men of Israel, with a loud voice, cursed be the man that maketh any graven molten image an abomination unto the Lord, to work the hands of the craftsmen, and put it in a secret place. And all the people shall answer and say, amen. And then you go through the whole list of curses that they would say, and then you come to the end, verse 26. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. And all the people shall say, amen. So every time they said something, they had to say, amen. In other words, God, do what you said. Amen. Do what you said. That's the same. So, blessing and cursing. Well, we've got the cursing part. Now, what do you want, Balak? You want Balaam to curse. But God is blessed. He isn't. He's blessed. Israel. Here's Israel. And Israel is to know what? God has blessed them. But if they turn against God, they're going to lose the blessing and be cursed. Follow it. Chapter 28. It shall come to verse 1. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which you read in Deuteronomy chapter 4, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. It's the top, you're the top of the pile. You're to show all the nations you're a wonderful person, Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verse 2, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And then you go through the blessings. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. Now look at verse 1. Blessed shalt thou be in thy city. Blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground and the fruit of thy cattle and the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep. Verse 5. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. You'll keep a your cupboard is going to be full and your basket's going to be full. I'm going to bless you. And down to verse 6. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. I'm going to bless you indoors and out of doors. I'm going to bless you wherever you are. You're to be blessed. What do you want, Balak? What do you want? I want you to take away from Israel the blessing. That's what I want you to take away. Because with your blessing, there's no one. Nebuchadnezzar couldn't, even if God chose to do it, couldn't fight Israel. No one can fight Israel. It only takes one Samson, and all the Philistine army is useless. When God wants to bless, he blesses. Now hang on to that. Now, so having said that, and keeping that in mind, so you get on the list, it's a wonderful thing. God's going to bless and bless and bless and bless and bless. So, therefore, having said that, chapter 30, Deuteronomy chapter 30. You can't curse Israel up there. God blesses them. So chapter 30, if I may, picking up, please, in verse 15. See, I have set before thee, this is Moses before they cross the Jordan, and Moses is giving them the message of all the book, Deuteronomy and every Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. He's giving them the whole works in one shot, the book of Deuteronomy, so that he can bring it home to them. And in the process of doing so. So when we come to chapter 30, verse 15, see, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall, they're going to keep reading it, bless thee, shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to pursue it, possess it, whether you're in or out, whatever you do, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to watch over you. You're going to be one happy camper as you go down the corridor of time. You're going to live in a world that hates you. The Moabs hate you. The Ammonites hate you. But you're going to go down and be a blessed man, a blessed woman, a blessed boy, a blessed girl as you look to me. Hang on. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, verse 17, but if thine heart, in contrast, turn away so that thou shalt not hear, but thou shalt draw away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce you this day, that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. Verse 19 stands out. I call heaven and earth, said God, to record, be witnesses this day against you, is the Israelites, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. I tell you to make a choice. I tell you, here's the three cups, the bad, one's a good one. You can either eat the good cup or the bad cup. I'm telling you which cup to take. Take the good cup. And what will happen? Verse 20, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him like glue. For, why? He is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. It's the land. I'm going to go and bless you. And I'm going to bless you because I'm going to do it, said God. So it's all going to work out in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, the only enemy then, Israel has an enemy, a problem. Israel was to be blessed. The world would like them to be cursed. But God has blessed them. And since God has blessed them, the only way all of the world can never corrupt them, the only way Israel can get loused up having God's blessing is they have to do it within their own heart. It's out of your heart the problem's going to come. No one and nothing in all the world can take away God's blessing from you. Only you and I can take it away. No one in all the world. Disease, everything could go bad to worse. Nothing can take away God's blessing except when you let it. And that's what's going to happen. You know, because Balak says what? Chapter 25 in Numbers. What are you going to say? There's a way to corrupt them. Get them to get involved in idolatry. Get them to worship and look at other things besides you, God. And what happened, Israel went like that. The only way you can louse up your life is you have to do it. So never, 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 never blame anybody else. I know we do. You're dead wrong, because no one can take away your joy, your wonderful blessing that God has given you, except you let it happen. I would say that as loud as I could, because that's the problem. We let it get us. We lose the relationship. And the only way it can disappear is when I let it disappear. Ephesians 1:3. And in Ephesians chapter 1, how is God introduced this great book of Ephesians, this great letter that brings us into the heaven, in heaven itself? We're seated in heavenly places, back over in chapter 2, verse 6. We have an awesome relationship to God, Christ in you. Now, we'll just jump ahead a little bit. When you receive Christ as your Savior, like we read in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourself. Put yourself on trial. Test yourself. Are you really, really, is Christ in you? Literally, it says, verse 5, is that true? That God is in you. That's the whole ball game. That's what God says after to the whole church in Corinth with all their problems. You need to really be saved. How am I going to be saved? You receive Christ as your Savior. God has to be in Christ in you, period. But you're not saved. You can think I'm saved, I believe a lot, but I don't know that. Then you're not saved. You can only be saved when you receive Christ as your Savior, and you do it. So, having said that, when you receive Christ as your Savior, is he blessed? When does God in Christ, in you, be not blessed? Find me some moment in your 24-hour day that he isn't blessed, a blessing in you. He's bringing what? All the blessing of God to you. And it never stops because he's the same. He's the same. Blessed be the Lord God, Ephesians 1:3 now. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, because who has blessed us, the blessing God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. God has brought, as we shared the other day, God has brought all of heaven's resources, which you have advantage to use. All of them. That's the blessing. You say, well, why haven't I been blessed? My life, my job, my marriage, my friends, my enemies. You got it? No, I'm not blessed. No. It isn't about you being blessed. It's about God in you is blessed. And when you're looking to God, because he tells you what? Reckon yourself dead? He never tells you to discuss with God. Debate with God. Talk to God about your problem. He always says the same thing. Be dead. Reckon yourself dead. I don't want to talk about you. Be dead. Why? So you can recognize your life. Reckon yourself dead and deemed to sin and alive unto God. You have to do that. Because he never gives you any other scores. Oh, God, I'm going to talk. You can talk for the next 10, 20 minutes. You can do it. But when you're done, you turn the pages, Juliana. You turn the pages. Find something that allows you, that God's looking for your discussion. You won't find it. So we don't get along with God very good. Not you guys, of course, but people. They don't enjoy the blessing. And they don't enjoy being blessed. And so, Balak, we don't need you to do anything. We do it all by ourselves. We don't need you to louse up our life. I don't need the world system to louse up my life. I can do it all by my lonesome. I can do it all by myself. I don't need anybody to louse up my life. You got it? That's an awesome, wonderful truth. Because why? You don't have to look to you for your words, for your wisdom, for your understanding, for your stubbornness, for your stupidity, or anything else. You thank God he's given it to you in Christ as a gift to be blessed. You understand that? Here's a tissue, my tissue. Tissue. Here's the tissue. Here I am, God. Here's this tissue full of all the blessing of God. And God says, take the tissue. But God, take the tissue. It's the blessing. I am your blessing. Reckon yourself dead and alive unto me. Take me. I am, like we did with the armor on Sunday night then. Put on the armor of God. Otherwise, you don't. Now, you couldn't ask anything simpler than that and more wonderful. You couldn't do it. You go home and try it. Go home and think about how the things, of all the different maneuvers you could take, my job, my home, my thinking. No, drop it, put it on the cross, and look to God. And the reason you're blessed is because of God in you, Christ in you, in God. And you didn't do a thing. You just are to enjoy his person. How? By saying no to your person. Reckon yourself dead so you can enjoy life. God, see, you aren't outside anymore. You've been adopted, placed into thee. Then be an adopted son. Exercise. You're not out there anymore. You're in Christ. Then exercise it. But I'm used to being my memory, and I can go outside. That's right. Anyway, I got to quit. I hope you got a little bit. Moab. Moab. God, why are you spending so much time on Moab? Because Moab was a perpetual enemy, and Israel had to learn that you aren't going to beat the enemy by fighting them. You're going to have to look to me, and trust me, I'll take care of Moab. I'll take care of the darkness. I'll take care of the doubt. I'll take care of the disappointment. I'll take care of every dumb thing you can think about. Just trust me so you don't let it grab you. And you got to think about it. Don't you want to be free? Free. And say, wow, it's really true. It isn't anything about me. It's about you, God. And I already been blessed. And I can't be unblessed. I can't be unblessed, God. I can lose my enjoyment of being blessed, but I can't lose the blessing. So I want to enjoy it. Get the idea? Moab, a long thing to tell you what. I'm going to do a job on Moab. You need to understand. I'm going to take care of the problem. You just make sure you understand. Don't be looking at Moab and the world trying to make your life a little better. That's what Balaam was doing. Going to try to get a little benefit from Balak, from the world.